Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In a Nazareth synagogue, Jesus opened a scroll of Isaiah the prophet and began to read, ending by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Only the Son of God could say that. Turn to Luke chapter 4 and stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a Christmas series on Christ before Bethlehem. We've learned about Christ, the Son, the King, and the Servant. Now, we hear about Christ, the Deliverer.
Let me begin today by asking you a question. What would it be like if Jesus were to come to the city of Chicago? If Jesus were to come, where would he go? Would he begin by the great media center of this city, NBC, CBS, the Tribune? Is that where he would go? Or would he go to City Hall, where there's power, where there's a great deal of influence, and where things get done? Is that where Jesus would go? Would he go to the commercial centers? Would he go to the banks along LaSalle Street or the great commercial center, thinking about Michigan Avenue with all of its world-famous stores? Where would Jesus go? I suspect, and I have good reason to believe it, that Jesus would bypass all of those centers and he would go into his churches and talk to his people about their personal lives and doing his work on earth. I think Jesus would come to his own people. And the reason I believe that is because that's what he did in the Bible when he was here on earth, as we shall see in a moment. This happens to be number 4 of a series of messages titled Christ Before Bethlehem. In every one of the messages, we've looked at the book of Isaiah to see a prophecy that the prophet gave under the inspiration of the Spirit about Jesus 700 years before he came at what we call Christmas time. First of all, we looked at Jesus Christ the Son, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. Jesus the King was message number 2. Jesus the Servant, today Jesus the Deliverer. This message is a little bit different because not only do we have the prediction of the Old Testament, but we begin at least to see the fulfillment of it in the New Testament. And that's why I'm going to invite you actually to turn first of all to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, a critical passage, and then we shall zero in on Luke chapter 4. Yes, this is Christ before Bethlehem. But it's just like we look back now to Christmas time, which is over, and we look to the future in the very same way our passage looks back to the time when Isaiah gave it, but also at a future time when Jesus began the process of fulfilling it. Isaiah 61, it's important to read it here, and then we shall see it also in the Gospel of Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Just that far. Jewish scholars always interpreted this as a messianic promise, the coming Redeemer. Now, with that background, let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We pick up the text in verse 16. Luke 4, 16. I'm giving you time to find it in your Bible. Jesus has been anointed by the Spirit. He's been baptized by John. The Spirit has come upon him. And then we read in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, But he lives in Nazareth. That's where Joseph had his carpentry business, was Nazareth. This was the hometown where Mary and Joseph raised Jesus and their other children. So Jesus goes back now to Nazareth, and where does he go? It says, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus comes to town, and where does he go? He goes where the religious people gathered, where the Torah was available, and he goes where the center of activity should have been for God and for his glory. And that's where our Lord enters this picture. Why didn't he go to a church? Well, of course, in those days, there was no church. The idea of Jew and Gentile being united into one body through the coming of Jesus was an unthinkable concept back here. So Jesus goes to his people, the chosen people, the one who had all the promises, the ones whom God had especially blessed and given marvelous privileges to, and he goes to be among them, and he enters into the synagogue, and that's where the drama opens. Now, as Jesus went into the synagogue, the synagogue service went something like this. First of all, it opened with the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the way the service opened. Following that, there would be eulogies, and people would have the opportunity of saying amen in response to them. And then there was always the reading of the law. Usually some from Moses, the first five books of the Bible, but then also from the prophets. And if a person were qualified and recognized to be qualified to read and to give an interpretation, they were allowed to do so. And Jesus was famous at this time. The scripture says in verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So when Jesus goes into this synagogue, there's no question but that he is allowed to participate, and he is given the scroll by the attendant. In those days, there was an attendant who had many different responsibilities, basically taking care of the synagogue, possibly also the maintenance of it. And it was his responsibility to take the scroll, to give it to a teacher qualified to teach. And then there was often also an interpreter present who'd be able to take the Hebrew and translate it into Aramaic, which is the language that most of the people understood in those days. So we read these words, verse 17. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll, keep that phrase in mind, and found the place where it was written. And now let's just zero in for a moment on the mission that Jesus began to accomplish. Here it is. It's a quotation, of course, from the passage of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Jesus was bringing here good news, not of the gospel that he was crucified, dead, and buried, because that hadn't even happened yet. It was really the gospel of the kingdom. It was the establishment of a kingdom on earth where there would be righteousness and justice and an end to all oppression. So he brought some good news to the poor. He says, your fortunes are going to change under my direction and under my leadership. Now, what he had to say was important also for the rich, but the rich are not often interested in what Jesus has to say. Just yesterday, I was speaking to a man who said that someone in his particular business, who's his boss, has no interest in the gospel, or very little, because he is successful, he's young, he's in good health, everything is going well. He doesn't need God right now. So you can understand that oftentimes the poor were a part of Jesus Christ's ministry because they knew that they had needs and they were more open to what God was able to do in them and for them. So Jesus says, I'm bringing good news to the poor. Things are going to change for you. I'm bringing freedom for the prisoners. Proclaim liberty to the captives. That doesn't mean that all the jails are going to be emptied, because there are some people who are in jail who ought to be there, but it means that, spiritually speaking, there are those who bring upon themselves a captivity and a sense of confinement and oppression that is absolutely overwhelming. So Jesus says, I have some good news for you too. You're going to be delivered. No longer are you going to have this sense of alienation from God. You're a prisoner in your own mind and in your own heart because of what you've done and because of what you've believed or because of what others have done to you, and I'm here to deliver you. And then Jesus says to give sight to the blind. Yes, physically, he did that in a few instances in the New Testament, but also those who are spiritually blind, those who are groping, finding their way to God or desiring to and not knowing how to do it. I have hope for you, Jesus is saying. And then this remarkable statement, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What is that a reference to? It's a reference to the year of Jubilee. Jesus says, I'm here to proclaim something that will bring universal deliverance across the land.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and needless to say, as you and I stand at the beginning of a new year, we are never able to predict what that year will bring about. The Bible does talk about a year of Jubilee, however. It was a time when the slaves were able to go free, when land returned back to its original owners. It was a year in which there was a balance. It was a year in which the rich no longer could get richer and the poor would no longer simply get poorer. It was giving people another chance, let me put it that way. And so I speak to you today and say that God is willing to give you and me another chance. It is often said that God is the God of the new beginnings. No matter what we have done in the past, no matter the mistakes we have made that cannot be undone, we live with a calm assurance that if we trust ourselves to Jesus, if we stop running our own lives and invite Him to become the captain of the ship, He will indeed let us begin again, exactly where we are, and to have a new beginning. Just simply take out time and say, Lord Jesus, I give you every day of my life. I pray that this year may be a year of great blessing, but a year in which I honor you because of my obedience and my commitment to all that you stand for and all that you can do in me. Well, let this year be God's year. And you and I will someday be able to look back and to say, surely the Lord led us all the way, and all the promises of God are totally dependable.
Erwin Lutzer with part one of Christ the Deliverer, the last of four messages on Christ before Bethlehem, taken from the prophecies of Isaiah. Next time, tune in for more on how Jesus fulfilled these prophecies in becoming the Deliverer. All four parts of Christ Before Bethlehem can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.